Joining us in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair this morning, he hails from Connecticut. He's a media reporter for the website dailycaller.com, based in Washington, D.C., Nick Jeavis. Nick, good morning and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Good to be back on the show.
Nick, so much to talk about in this news, and the news that's on dailycaller.com changes by the minute, it seems. But here's Chuck Schumer, in one breath, calling the President of the United States heartless over DACA, and then the next thing you know, he and Trump are cutting a deal on the debt ceiling. But what was Schumer saying about DACA back in 2009? I know the Daily Caller had a story about that.
He was saying that illegal immigration was wrong and that we should be encouraging legal immigration, which was a line that many conservatives had been pushing for more than a decade. So I think this just goes to show that Chuck Schumer is the perfect embodiment of a politician. He blows with the political winds, and he allies himself with who he has to, and ideology be damned. I don't think he really is loyal to anything. He's just in line with what gets him a more positive image in the media. And he'll come back and say he's a deal maker and that he has common sense because he worked with Trump on this. But I don't think he's a big centerpiece in all this, in my opinion. I think it's all grandstanding.
You know, Nick, though, I tell you, one of the things that I think is tremendous is that the president is working with the Democrats now. He's telling the Republicans, you better get your act together. There's so many factions in the Republican Party, as you know. And don't you think this is a great move by Trump?
I do, actually. I think this is a quintessential Trump move. I mean, when your party is stabbing you in the back and calling you unstable and, you know, kind of kissing up to the media even at certain times and selling the president out, he's going to go to the other side and say, listen, if you're not going to make a deal with me, I'll go to the Democrats because they're dying. They're itching to make a deal with me. They pass anything. They can use that to push themselves forward in the midterms. So I think this is a great kind of push and threat from Trump to get the legislative agenda in gear, because the Republicans, I mean, they're more flat-footed than they were back when Obama was president, and it's an embarrassment. So things like this need to happen, I think, and they need to be pushed. And I think this is right in line with what he promised to do, shake things up.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But now I'm wondering long-term, Nick, if Trump is thinking, okay, I got the Democrats to agree to this package deal, or they got me to agree to this package deal by including the debt ceiling in this deal for Hurricane Harvey. Does he then turn around and say, all right, I'm going to cut a deal on DACA, but you got to include my wall in this immigration package?
I think he's going to try that, but I don't think they're going to include his wall. I think the Democrats are going to come at every turn and oppose that. I hopefully, though, this instance where he went across the aisle to the Democrats will just generally scare the Republicans into getting in line with his agenda. Because let's not forget, they don't need Democrats. If they wanted to pass immigration reform as it stands today, they control both chambers and they have the White House. So I'm hoping that he won't have to make such a package deal with the Democrats, but hopefully this will, you know, push Republicans to accept his deal on the wall. But like I said, I don't think anything major is going to get done until after the midterms. It's going to change one way or the other, and I think they're going to add seats in the Republican Party, hopefully more conservative seats, and that'll help Trump get his wall and get his agenda passed. But I think it's going to be a lot of back and forth of little gain until then.
Nick, what do you think about CNN's investigative team pulled off the Trump-Russia investigation? What does that tell us all?
I think it's a perfect end to the circus that was their coverage on this issue, because I wrote an article back in July that was talking about how CNN had been caught selectively editing, had been caught on camera calling the voters stupid, had to fire the three reporters for their Russia story, having poor sourcing, and that was just in 1 week. So this has been a pattern by CNN. They've tossed all journalistic integrity out the window, and I think that maybe not all of them at the network do this, but they're starting to traffic in yellow journalism. Facts no longer matter. So this is kind of a chink in the armor. This shows that even Jeff Zucker, you know, the people had to come in and say, listen, drop it, because we publish any more mistakes as fact, we're going to lose the little credibility that we do have left. So that not only shows, I think, a weakness in their narrative, but also a weakness in their reporting and their investigating. So I think the American people should take a long pause and look at this and question whether or not they're worthy of any trust at all going forward.
Brad and Dan, and we have on the line, we've been chatting with Nick Jeavis, media reporter for the website dailycaller.com. And Nick, the Koch brothers, they have their conservative group, Americans for Prosperity. And I think this could be a preview to 2018, but they have launched themselves smack dab in the middle of this campaign for governor of Virginia. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we know that the Democratic candidate, Northam, is actually very liberal for a purple state. He supports the Affordable Care Act. He's pro-choice. He said he's going to stand up against ICE as far as immigration is concerned. He's against drilling. So I think that these are the Kochs coming into a year where they know they have to repeat that wave of 2010. And if your listeners will remember, back when that happened, the first thing to go was the Virginia governorship and the New Jersey governorship with Chris Christie and Bob McDonnell. So, of course, we're coming into another off year where we're going to have those elections start us off before the midterms. And I think this is the Koch brothers and other conservative groups planning ahead because they know that state is vulnerable. Trump almost won Virginia in the general election. It's very close. So I think this is just strategy unfolding as the season heats up.
See, I wouldn't be surprised if the Koch brothers insert themselves into the Connecticut gubernatorial campaign next year because this state, which as we know has been blue for years, has been rated by some as a toss-up, Nick.
You know, that's interesting. And the Senate, of course, you know, I think they pulled dead even now. I haven't checked it lately, but I know that it had been liberal when I was in college there all 4 years and another year after it. Blue is the sky. And, you know, debt. High taxes and exodus of not just business owners and movers and shakers, but even just middle-class people leaving the state because it's tanking. So, yeah, I think like the Democrats like to do with Texas, they'll kind of, you know, put money into it on certain years to try to flip it or just sort of move the needle. And, of course, I would definitely, you know, foresee the Kochs putting money into that state because even though it's small and it's been historically Democrat, a governorship is a governorship. And to sweep that or try to flip that, that would send a loud and clear message, I think, to the rest of the country that we're done with failed policies of the left. It's time for change.
Nick, I want your thoughts on the President of the United States and some of the things that he's been doing. North Dakota, evidently, they like him out there. This senator, the female Democrat, she evidently could help him on some tax issues. What do you think about the way he has functioned thus far, despite all the criticism?
I think he's been, in a lot of cases, more presidential than any of us expected. Even some of his supporters were skeptical of what was going to happen after he was elected. But in the end, he's shown leadership. I mean, it's not easy, no matter who you are, politician or outsider, to go onto Capitol Hill and tell the entire Congress, all the people of power for decades, you've done it wrong. You screwed the American people. I'm here to fix it. Work with me or don't. So, of course, that had such a heavy backlash. But away from the media, away from the noise, I think he did more than any president-elect I've ever seen in the last 30 years before he even got elected. He's helping the stock market go up by giving confidence to the business community. I think these are huge pieces of legislation, despite health care and tax reform still you know, waiting on that. I think he's going to get these things done. So I think he's on the right track. I think he's staying the course. He's like Teflon. He's letting things bounce off him, which, again, very presidential. He's keeping international relations calm. He's showing strength to North Korea. And he's leading from the front. He's taking responsibility. He's calling out career politicians on Twitter and in speeches. And people still love him. He's energizing America for the first time in a long time. And I think that's going to carry through the rest of his first term. And hopefully those midterm elections help him get even more done after that. So I think he's on the right track, like you said, despite the barbs.
Well, we'll see what unfolds. Nick, I know you've got to go, but thanks very much for spending some time with us.
Great to have you with us.
Brad and Dan.
Great to be on, guys. Look forward to talking with you again.